Okay, so today's shiur, slight variation from the series we've been having on Tuesdays so far during Kaitzman. Until now, we've been pretty consistently studying from the Sefer of the Minchas Asher on Emunah and Bitachon, but just like we made a slight variation in honor of Lag BaOmer, where we took one of Rav Asher Weiss's other Hashkafa Svarim to speak about Lag BaOmer, and we stepped away briefly from the direct study of Emunah and Bitachon. So here also, I thought in anticipation of Shavuos, we would have a special shiur on Rav Asher Weiss from a Hashkafic perspective, of an Emunah focus, if you will, but not the general topic of Emunah, but specifically something relating to Talmud Torah and preparation for Chag Matan Torah. So there is a series of Svarim called the Sichos Minchas Asher. Minchas Asher is the name of all of his Svarim. But unlike the ones that are more halachic, which are, I guess he calls them Shurim or Shilos Vechuvos, so the more agadic or hashkafic pieces, he has a three-part series called Sichos Minchas Asher, and that's more agadic and hashkafic based on the holidays. So I want to learn with you a very, very beautiful piece, which is Maimar Nunhei. He calls them Ma'amarim, Maimar Nunhei. So it's chapter 55 in the third volume, Chelek Gimel. And it's actually the first piece he has on Shavuos. And it's actually technically the first piece he has on preparing for Shavuos. Exactly where we are now. He has the subcategory of essays that comes after this one are all about what he calls the Shlosha Yimei Hagbalah, right, which we're about to get up to, the last 3 days as an anticipation of Matan Torah, as the Jewish people we know prepared as well before their initial Matan Torah. So he starts off the piece, it's really, really a beautiful piece, with the Pasuk in the beginning of Yisro, Perek Yotet, Pasuk Bet there, which says, V'yisu mirafidim v'yavo midbar Sinai, right, they left Rafidim, they went through Midbar Sinai, v'yachanu b'midbar, v'yichan sham Yisrael neged ahar, right, and they encamped at the base of the mountain. Very, very famous pasuk that opens up the beginning of the narrative of Yisro. So he starts off the piece by quoting, and this is the entire outline of the piece, the entire piece is an elaboration on one beautiful Perush of the Or HaChaim. I'm not sure how familiar you guys are, how often you've learned Or HaChaims, who's actually more commonly known as the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, because he was such a tzaddik. We've had a lot of tzaddikim in our history. Not everyone gets merited to be known as HaKadosh, but he's often known as the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, and it's a very, very, very classical, very important perush on the Torah. And here, right in the beginning of Yisro, so the Or HaChaim has the following very beautiful idea. He says, listen, Kavanara kasuv hu lahakdim gimel inyanim, hein ikare ha'achana lakabalas ha'Torah. He says, alluded to, it's obviously on a deeper remez level, this is not pshat at all, but he says, alluded to in this parsha, in this pasuk, are three foundational pieces that a person must undergo to prepare for Kabbalas HaTorah, which of course is the climax of Parshas Yisro. She'be'emtza'utam nisratzeh Hashem l'hanchilam nachalat shaddai hi toratenu han'ima. It's through these, be'emtza'utam, through these three pieces, that's how Hashem will want to give you this, you know, special Nachala, the special inheritance that is uniquely the Jewish people's, and that is the Torah. What are the three things? Ha'alef, number one, hu hitgabrut v'hitatzmut be'esak ha'Torah. That is to say, working hard. Hard work, being a masmid, shvitzing, putting in the effort, working hard at Torah. Ki ha'atzlut hu ezev ha'mafsid ha'sagata. He says, laziness, is basically the guarantee, that's the fuel, to be unsuccessful at gaining any accomplishment in Torah. Ulezet timtza, that's why you will find, says the Or HaChaim, ki kol makom shiyaskirena Hashem l'Torah, often in Tanakh, when there's a reference to Torah, yidakdek lomar, the pasuk will go out of its way to mention some form, some lashon of chozek, va'ometz, strength, effort, persistence. Ad geder she Yamis atzmo aleha. In fact, we have the most dramatic or extreme formulation in Chazal that it doesn't, perhaps it doesn't mean literally, but there's an expression in Chazal that you even have to be willing to die, give yourself open completely for Torah. Dichtiv, as the Pasuk says in Bamidbar Perek Yetet, Zosa Torah Adam ki yamus ba'ohel. And based on that somewhat awkward phrasing of the Pasuk, again, the pshat in that Pasuk has nothing to do with learning Torah. It has to do with the Tumah V'Tahara. But Chazal there very famously say, and at the moment he doesn't quote it, he just alludes to it, but that's the famous quote which he just gave above, Adam ki yamas ba'ohel, ohel meaning the ohel shel Torah, a person has to be willing to yamas atzmo, he has to be willing to kill himself, if you will, that's how much effort he has to be willing to put in. V'tireh, he said, and a person, you'll see, it's just look at the facts, he says, ki lo tusag hasaga ela hit amtsut gadol, you simply are not going to be successful in Torah, unless you're willing to put in tremendous, tremendous effort. Okay? Now that is the first point. That again, Rav Asher Weiss is going to go through all three pieces in the Or Chaim, and then we're going to go through each one of them and elaborate. But the Or Chaim says the first thing is tremendous effort. Now, remember, how did we start with this? We started with the Pasuk at the beginning of the Parsha. What does that have to do with anything? So it says the Or Chaim, u'keneged zeh amar ha-katuv v'yisu me'refidim. This is what's alluded to in the opening of the Pasuk, that they traveled from Refidim. How does Refidim have anything to do with being an Omel, being a Masmid? Lo ba lahodiyo makam shimenu nisau. Right, as Rashi, take a look at that Rashi, as you may recall. Rashi already points out, we don't need ways, we don't need a triptych, we don't need to know exactly where they're traveling from, and anyway, we knew they had been in Refidim already. Why is the Torah telling us this? Ela neskavin lomar, so the deeper message, says Or Chaim, is shenasu mibechinas rifyon yadayim. As the Gemara says, commenting on a pasuk earlier in Sefer Shemot, in Perek Yitzayin, that rifyon is a lashon of loosening, of not holding on tight, of being a little bit lazy. In fact, that's on the pasuk earlier, vayilachem am Yisrael berifidim, when they fought at Refidim, there was a rifyon yadayim, that they loosened their hand, they got loose, meaning that they were not as serious, not as diligent. They didn't have as much hasmada in their Torah. So therefore, says the Or Chaim, when they had a yirida, but now, in anticipation of Kabbalah Satorah, vayisu merefidim, they traveled away from, they left that status of rifyon yadayim, and now they're ready to put in the effort, do the hard work, roll up their sleeves. Now they're ready to learn. And that's what it means, why it says, what's the next phrase in the Pasuk? Midbar Sinai. And then they got to Sinai. Okay, so that's the first thing, and that's hard work, as we see from the beginning of the Pasuk. Number two, Inyan Bet. Hu hashiflus v'ha'anava. We have to be humble. Humility. Ki ein divrei Torah miskayim in ela. But misha mashpil atzmo umesim atzmo kamidbar. And again, Rav Asher Weiss, when he develops this, he'll give you the Mar Makom for this. But says the Or HaChaim very much in shorthand that the desert, and we know Har Sinai as well, right? That's the lowest mountain. Chazal tell us, why was the Torah given on Har Sinai? To show that humility, even the lowest mountain, not the most impressive mountain. Similarly, Torah is compared to a midbar. And there are different interpretations for why you need to make yourself like a midbar to get Torah. But the Or HaChaim is alluding to the fact that he thinks there's a certain level of humility which is suggested by the desert metaphor. And that's the second point here. And says the Or HaChaim, this is now the continuation of the Pasuk. Vayisu merefidim vayachanu bamidbar. They left Refidim, and now the next thing in the Pasuk is, they got to Midbar. Perish Lashon Shiflus Vanova Kemidbar Shakol Dorchin Olav. Right? The desert, there's no private property, everyone's free to walk all over it. That shows that I make myself humble. Anyone can walk all over me, so to speak. I'm very humble. I don't stand on my own principles. I'm not a Balgaiva. That's the second thing. What's the third thing? Inyan Gimel. Hu Bechinat Yeud Chachamim B'Hitchabrut B'Lev Shalem V'Tamim. So this is a very a slightly enigmatic phrase. The first time I read this, I wasn't 100% sure what he meant. But when you continue on in reading the Or HaChaim, it is clear that what he means by this is that all of the Chachamim get along with each other. There's a sense of common purpose, of working together for a higher good. That's what he means by yi'ud chachamim. They share a certain goal, a focus. B'hit chabrut, they all are chaverim with each other. B'lev shalem v'tamim, sincerely. Not that they're all fighting and competing with each other. Rather, he says on the second line, yitva'adu yachad, they gather together. V'yachadadu zel lezed, they sharpen each other, right? When you have a chavrusa, and you're fighting over how to read the Gemara, if it's a healthy chavrusa, unfortunately there are sometimes unhealthy chavrusas, but in a healthy chavrusa, even if you're arguing over the Tosfos or the Gemara, it's really to share one common goal. It's a yi'ud, you share a common purpose, and you're sharpening, and the pshat that emerges from your argument with your chavruta will in the end be better for both of you than it would have been individually. So together you're getting better. The Asbiru Parim Zelazeh, you're explaining to each other the Gemara, you're explaining the Sugi, you're explaining the Pasuk. That's the beauty of people coming together for the higher purpose of Talmud Torah. And the third point is alluded to there at the end of the Pasuk. Vayichan Sham Yisrael. And why is it Vayichan very famously, not Vayachanu? It's not in plural, even though we're talking about 2 million people. Lashon Yachid, Shenasu Kulan Kishechad, Hein Ata, Hein Ru'uyim Lakbal Zatorah. So, says the Or HaChaim, this pasuk, which just seems like a very boring, dry pasuk, telling me unnecessary information about where the Bnei Israel were traveling on their way to Har Sinai. But according to Or HaChaim, on a deeper level, it alludes to the three necessary components you need to have in anticipation of Matan Torah. And as Rav Asher Weiss, I just gave you one little sentence here, as he summarizes the Or HaChaim, Harei Lan Shloshet Yisodot HaChana LeKinyan Torah. We have here the three steps, the three preparations for Kinyan Torah. Omel V'Yagia, number one, hard work. Number two, Anava V'Shiflut, humility. And number three, Ahavat Re'im V'Dibuk Chaverim, being friends with each other, working together towards a common goal. Ad Kan HaKafa Aleph, Ad Kan, the Or HaChaim himself. And now, Rav Asher Weiss goes and he elaborates on these. The truth of the matter is, I'll tell you a secret, he doesn't say much about the third one in this piece. But he spends a good amount of time elaborating on the first two, and Emir Tzashem, we have time to study both of those thoroughly. So, in Rav Asher Weiss's now elaboration on the Or HaChaim, he starts off with point number one. Point number one is, you gotta work hard. There's no way to become a Talmud Chacham, to accomplish anything in learning, if you're not willing to work hard. Now, I would add, by the way, I hope this is not Chas V'Shalom heretical, I'm not sure how unique Torah is in this. Someone tell me, what area of life can you be successful in if you don't work hard? Very, very few, right? It's not just Torah. I never met a very successful scientist or lawyer or doctor who also didn't work crazy hard. And frankly, if you know people, you know, in your life, or you've read about people who've been hugely successful, you know that part of that is because they decided, as we saw before, they're willing to be virtually maimis atzmam. They're willing to kill themselves for it. They've decided this is the goal. This is higher than anything else, right? If any of you saw even part of that documentary about Michael Jordan, and I'm old enough to remember that when it was all happening, but that's one of the main points that they were highlighting, right? Was he had an obsessive, you know, overwhelmingly obsessive need to be successful and to be great. So whatever excesses he had, whatever unhealthy things he had, and as much as any mature adult, let alone a Torah Jew, can say, you know, is the game of basketball really worth that level? Is that what you should spend your life dedicated on? Okay, but that's not the topic of our shiur now. The point is, you can learn a lot from people like Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant or other people in other fields where they've decided this is so important to them. They're willing to work hard. They're willing to kill themselves, and they're willing to even defer other pleasures. So we have many makorot that make that point in Torah, and Rav Asher Weiss gives us a few of them. For example, the Yerushalmi in Masechet Peah, which is also found in other places, quotes from the pasuk of Ki hu chayechem, that somehow Torah will be your life. Eimatai hu chayechem, kishatem yagiyim ba. Meaning the pasuk says Eitz chayim hilam achazikim ba, right? People have a sense, right? Certainly people in yeshiva hopefully have been exposed to Torah. You get a sense of its beauty, of its magic. It could give us so many great things. A lot of people want the good stuff of Torah. We want what Torah could give us. So says the Gemara, yeah, I know you want it, but you're going to have to earn it. You can't just dabble in Torah and think you're going to get all the blessings and the benefits of Torah. You have to be magia. You have to really put in the effort. And furthermore, a very famous comment in Pirkei Avos in the sixth perek, whoops, sorry about that, Kachi Darko Shal Torah, this is maybe one of the more extreme formulations, Kachi Darko Shal Torah, Pas Pemelach Tochal, Mayim B'Mesura Tishte, Al Ares Tishen, V'Chaye Tza'ar, Tichye, U'B'Torah At Ha'omel, says the Brisa. Again, there are many interpretations of this Brisa, but certainly one way to read it is, if you want to get Torah, if you want to become a Talmid Chacham, Darka Shel Torah is, you have to limit yourself. Don't focus on any other natural or material pleasures. Just focus on Torah. Even be willing to have just bread and water, bread and salt, small amounts of water, sleep on the floor, have a life of privation. All of that is a way of getting Torah. V'imata osakein ashrecha v'tovlach. And if you're willing to do that, it'll be amazing for you. Ashrecha b'olam hazeh v'tovlacha b'olam haba. Good in this world and the next. Again, it's a dramatic statement. And in fact, not long ago, I think it was two Sundays ago, I gave a shiur. You can get it on YU Torah if you're interested. I gave a shiur on that Mishnah in Perkei Avos. And there are other interpretations of that Mishnah, but whatever the various interpretations of how to read the phrase, and there are different interpretations, but certainly the clear thrust of that Brisa is, at minimum, a willingness to work hard. How much that Mishnah is telling us that you have to live an ascetic life, a life without physical or material pleasure, that's a machloket in the Mefarshim. But no one thinks that the Mishnah isn't saying you got to work hard. And that is the point. And the Rambam here in Hilchot Talmud Torah, Per Gimel, also makes this point. The Rambam says, Ein divrei Torah mitkaimin b'misha mar pe'atzmo aleihem. Again, if you just are loose with it, you know, I dabble. When I'm in the mood, I come to afternoon Seder, or I'm there for a little bit, then I go back to my room for a little bit. You know, when I'm in the mood, that's mar pe'atzmo. It's not that you're not learning at all, but you're not committed. You're not all in. Lo be'elu, says the Rambam, shalom din mitoch idun mitoch achila v'shtia. Right? If you think that the dorm food is not so good, it's okay, because that's the way to learn Torah. If the food is too good, you won't become a Talmid Chacham, says the Rambam. El b'misha meimitz atzmo alein umetzar gufo tamid v'liyitein shena le'enav. You don't sleep late, you don't go to bed too early, you push yourself, you're tired, yes. But that's the way to do it. And then the Rambam concludes with the same phrase that we saw previously from the Or HaChaim, that there's a remez, Zos Torah Adam Ki Yomos Bohel, Ein HaTorah Mitkayemet, Ela, B'mi Shemeimis Atzmo B'olechacham. You have to be willing to kill yourself, or willing to die for it, perhaps is a better way of saying things. That's how committed and that's how hard you have to be willing to work. He continues by quoting another amazing statement, and this is a Gemara in Masechet Shabbos on Daf Kuf Mem Zayin with Bet, which I'll just paraphrase it. He tells about the famous Tana Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, and he was going to a certain area in which they had famous delicacies, unbelievable waters and wines, which were delicious, the most delicious delicacies. And it says there that when he went, and he enjoyed and he indulged in them, he forgot all of his Torah. After he came back from indulging, he was reading in the Sefer Torah, and he got to the pasuk of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, Parshat Bo, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, and instead he read it, HaChoresh Haya Libam. Somehow they were silenced, meaning that it alludes to the fact they forgot everything. Eventually the Gemara says, Bo Merachmi Aleha, the Rabbanan Davin for him, and he recovered. But nevertheless, you see, it's another yet an example of, if a person is too indulgent and not willing to work hard and kind of just chilling, that's fine. You can enjoy the good things, but that comes with a price. On the other hand, if you really want to commit yourself to learning, you really got to commit yourself. Then he summarized. Now we have Rav Asher Weiss himself. He summarizes what the Gemara means. Kasher Tana HaGadol Rabbi Elazar ben Arach nitaseik b'tanugos, when he's paying attention to these, enjoying these pleasures, he's enjoying the waters of this place, the wine of the place. Instead, he read, there was a hint, Hashem was sending him a hint. You'll forget things, you'll become, so to speak, deaf. Torah won't be able to penetrate. Tachas asher Shlomo HaMelech hipalel, instead of what Shlomo HaMelech davened for, v'nasata l'avdecha leiv shomea, instead of having a heart that can hear, here unfortunately has a leiv, so to speak, that cannot hear. You're, so to speak, artificially deaf, so to speak, meaning the Torah cannot penetrate in order to give you a true kinyan in Torah. De'ein Torah nignet ela ba'omel v'atanag machrish libo shel ha'adam. So again, very strong words. I'm not going to lie to you. This could be a little scary and maybe intimidating to see, but this is what the Gemara says. And just to finish off this section, Rav Asher Weiss ends the section by quoting here two more statements, which are very similar to each other. One from the Rambam in his Hakdama to the Parish of Mishnayot, and then actually one from the Gemara itself in Masechet Tamid. And they're pretty much mirrors of each other. What does the Rambam say? Tchilas ha-seichel, yitzayer, shechur ban ha-nefesh, betikun ha-guf. If you want to know tchilas ha-seichel, what's the first step in wisdom, in becoming smart, and becoming learned, you have to realize that churban ha-nefesh comes with tikkun ha-guf. In other words, it's a zero-sum game according to this approach. Tikkun ha-guf, if you really focus on your body, that's going to become churban ha-nefesh. But the opposite is true. Tikkun ha-nefesh, if you want to really focus on your Torah, on your spiritual life, that comes with ignoring the guf, churban ha-guf. And similarly, the Gemara says in Masechet Tamid and Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, Ma yavid inish v'yichya, what should a person do if he wants to live a spiritually meaningful life? Amru lo, yamis atzmo, so to speak, kill himself, meaning deprive himself of the pleasures of this world so he can focus on Torah. Ma yavid inish v'yamos, what does a person want to do, what should he do if he wants to die, meaning spiritually live an unfulfilled life? He should focus on the spiritual pleasures. Now, again, as I said previously, I'm not going to lie, these are somewhat extreme formulations, and I don't necessarily think that one has to accept all of these formulations in as extreme and consistent way as they're being presented here. Again, in all seriousness, if you're interested, take a look. I have a shiur that, again, I just gave a few within the last week or two on Pirkei Avos on Wayu Torah, where I spoke about that mission in Avos, and I show how different Mefarshim feel that, again, not the basic point is true. I can't take this thing away completely. If a person's going to want to, if the focus of your life is being lazy and enjoy, you know, if your idea of a good day would in theory be to be on the beach, you know, with a nice cocktail and, you know, and an umbrella, okay, then you're clearly not going to become a Talmid Chacham. You're not going to probably do much of your life b'chlal. Right? Life is about being willing to work hard. How much is this, are these Mamari Chazal just focusing on how hard you have to work? And are they even going further than that and saying you have to be kind of anti this world of material pleasure? So that there really are different traditions in Chazal. It's not one voice. There are different traditions in Chazal. And again, if you take a look in that shiur I gave about a week or two ago, I discussed that in detail. And then a year ago or so, I gave a different shiur also on a related topic. There's what to say about that. But for our purposes, we're not going to get into all of the issues of being an ascetic or not, being a nazir or not. The main point, though, I think at minimum, we have to be honest with ourselves. And what these sources are telling us is, if you want anything in life, you're going to have to sacrifice other things. At some point, you get old enough to realize a person cannot have everything in equal measure. When you're a kid, you think you can, but it's an immaturity if you can't let go of that. At some point in life, you have to mature enough to realize that I have to make decisions. What is worth the effort? What is worth the time? There's only 24 hours in the day. There's only 7 days in the week. We only have a finite amount of energy and mental bandwidth. We have to decide what is important to us in life. And if that's money or material pleasure, doesn't mean you can't be a frum Jew. You could be a Shomer Shabbos. You could keep halacha. But it's very hard to say that I'm going to be spiritually ambitious, but have all those other material and physical things be the goal of my life. On the other hand, you could say, you know what? It's not that I'm going to escape this world. I'm not anti this world. I'll live in this world. I'll hopefully have a decent life, a good life. But the ikkar of my life, the essence, the goals of my life are more spiritual and Talmud Torah. If you want a true kinyan on Torah, if you want to be a Talmud Chacham, says Rav Asher Weiss, again, lahavdil of Alfei Avdalos, it's no different than any star athlete, any Olympian, any anything, or for that matter, anyone to reach the top in any other profession. Saying, you know what, I needed to give up certain things so I could focus my energies on the thing that I wanted to be great at. Well, if that's true about business, if that's true about sports, if that's true about music, it's certainly true, lahavdil of Alfei Avdalos, about the life of the nefesh, generally, and more specifically, the life of Torah. Okay, we have a few more minutes, and let's just go to the second point that the Orach Chaim mentioned, which Rav Asher Weiss now is also going to elaborate on, and that is humility. So he starts off here by quoting the Gemara in Tainis, which is that Rabbi Chanina says, Lama nimshlu divrei Torah lamayim, right? How come we have sources that compare Torah to water? Because Havit Samel Lachu Lamayim, which is an allusion to Torah, Lomar Lachar to teach us, Ma Mayim Anichem Makom Gavov, Alichem Lamakom Namuch, just like, right, it's a natural law of science, right, that water always goes to the, you know, finds its lowest common denominator, water always goes down, if you will. So too, Af Devrei Torah Ein Mitkaimin Ella, But Misha Daito Shvel. So to Torah, like water, is going to naturally gravitate towards someone who's more humble. That's just a so to speak, a law of the spiritual universe. Furthermore, as Rasha Weiss here says on the next page, Hush Amar Rabbeinu, he quotes the Gemara in Eirvin, the Gemara in Nedarim, Ein Divrei Torah Miskayim and Ela Misha Meisim Atzmo Kemidbar Aleihem. And this is the metaphor that we saw that Or Chaim himself quoted. The metaphor of Torah is like the desert. So I mentioned when we were reading the Or Chaim at the beginning of the Shir, I mentioned that even though the Gemara says, even though the Medrash says that the Torah is like the desert, but there's different interpretation of what that means. But the way the Or Chaim explains it, Rav Asher Weiss points out here that the Ran in Nedarim makes exactly the same point that the Or Chaim made that we saw at the beginning of the Shir. That the Ran says, Niskavin Rabbi Yosef Lahazir LaRava Sheshfal Ruach Biyoser. That there's a certain element of the desert, the Midbar, which is reminiscent of or alludes to humility, right? The desert is not some beautiful suburban mansion. It's not some loft downtown with beautiful, you know, fancy hotel, 5-star hotel with all sorts of accoutrements. The desert is simple, no flash, nothing special. So that alludes to, according to these Mefarshim, the idea of humility. Now, another Gemara which makes this point as well, which is really, really dramatic. It's a very long Gemara. I knew we wouldn't have time to read it all inside, so I didn't put it on the sheet, but you can find two versions of it. One is in the Yerushalmi and Yevamos, which is actually the version that Rav Asher Weiss quotes, and there's a slightly different version, but basically the same point is in Bereishis Rabbah in the Medrash. And basically, it tells the story of Levi Bar Sisi, who was a superstar, and big Talmud Chacham, very well respected, and he got hired to go to a new community, become the Rav. And when he got there, they made like a special platform for him to show him kavod haTorah, a special rabbi's chair for him to, so to speak, go to. They gave him also the kavod to welcome him. Then they started asking him questions in halacha. They have a new rabbi. They have shilas. They started asking him. He couldn't answer anything. He forgot all of his Torah. He was humiliated. He ran back, the Gemara says, to his Rebbe. He says, I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, you know, I thought all this learning, which got me this great coveted position, now is when I forgot everything. You know, he felt terrible. And basically, once they go over with his Rebbe what happened, they realize quickly that what was the basis of him forgetting everything? The fact that they gave him this level of honor, and he let it go to his head. As Rav Asher Weiss says, Harei lanu dekasher higiyah ha'amora ha'gado Levi Bar Sisi. When he got all of a sudden a little bit of his na'asut, he got a little bit of gaiva, a little bit of kavod. Unfortunately, what happened is, he lost everything. Miyad nishtakha mimenu toroso, umishash hishbil atmo chazra lav kol toros. And only once he was humble again, did his Torah come back. And Rav Asher Weiss makes a point here, this is very important, I think, for us to think about. He makes a point, he says, we just saw Gemara a minute ago about Elazar ben Aruch, that because he was indulging in the fine wine and the baths of a certain area, he forgot his Torah. Or now Levi, because he got arrogant, he forgot his Torah. So says Rav Asher Weiss, really? I mean, just if someone gives you a rabbinic seat, you're going to forget all your Torah. Well, that happened to us. Have a little good wine, that's going to happen to us. So says Rosh Hashanah, no, you have to say very clearly, it all depends on what level you're on. And he gives a great mashal. Again, I won't read it inside, but in this paragraph here, he gives a great mashal. I think it's really an apt mashal. He says, let's say you have a jug or a bottle of very, very fine wine. Super expensive. You know, who knows how many years old it is, what the vintage is. And then what happens? You pour a little bit, and as a result, now all of a sudden the bottle's not full anymore, it's a little empty. So what happens? The little boy, the son of the owner of the bottle of wine, he sees that all of a sudden this full bottle of very delicious wine is now a little missing a bit. So the son, in his innocence, says, oh, I'll make the bottle full again, I'll add some water to it. I'll fill it up. So says the Rashi, what would the father say? Right? He would scream right away to his son, no. If you add even a little bit of water, a little bit, you're going to ruin this fine wine. Clearly, right? On the other hand, says the Rashi Weiss, if we were talking about a bottle of grape juice, all kavod to Kedem, 11 years in Israel, and I still don't like the Israeli stuff. But Hodul Hashem Ki Tov for Ramat Beit Shemesh, you can get American products. So I still get the Kedem. Lamaisa, if you added a little bit more water to the Kedem, it would be just fine. You wouldn't be ruining anything. So says Rav Asher Weiss, you see from this, it all depends. If you're dealing with somebody who was like a fine wine, then even a little bit of external things like extra water are bad. if you're not so good anyway, you just like a bottle of grape juice, then it doesn't hurt you so much. But of course, our goal is to be like the fine bottle of wine. So this is Ad Kan. This is the second point, Or HaChaim. We'll finish in 2 seconds. This is what the Or HaChaim said was the second point, which is Anava, humility. And here we had Rosh Weiss elaborating on this point. Again, you and I include myself, we're not on the level of these Amoraim, that a little bit of arrogance is going to ruin everything for us. But the principle is the same for us, you and me, as it would be for the Amoraim and the Tanaim. That becoming a Talmud Chacham is incompatible with being arrogant. And the reason for that is manifold. We don't have time to get into that now, but at the risk of overindulging, I will once again reference myself. I have other shurim on humility and its incompatibility with Torah, also on YU Torah recorded, if you're interested. There are many reasons why, both practical and more fundamental, why being arrogant is incompatible with learning. And again, lahavdil, it's true about many things in life, right? People who already think they know it all usually end up learning very little because they think they know it all already. So if you want to become, even before, I think there are certainly some, how shall I say, mystical or metaphysical reasons why the Torah is saying in some deep, deep way, it's incompatible with arrogance. But even without that, even if you're not a mystic at all, if you're not metaphysical at all, on a purely prosaic, rational level, no one can learn anything in life if you're arrogant. So the second thing you need to do to have a chana for Kabbalah Satorah is be humble, realize that there's so much wisdom out there that you don't know in the Torah, that people who know more than you, they could teach you, don't think you know it all. And then only one source, Rav Asher Weiss, we're done in a second, says Rav Asher Weiss, the third thing the Or HaChaim said was being good friends with people, not being divisive, having achdus, realizing that my chavrusas, that my friends, they were all in this together, where it's not a competition, we're all there to try to help each other grow. And for this, he quotes the famous Gemara Masechta Tainis, Harbi lamadati merabotai, mechaveirai, yoser merabosai, mitamida yoser mikulan. So that middle phrase is the part that's relevant for us now, o mechaveirai, yoser merabosai, that yes, in fact, it's true. On some level, a person can learn more from his friends, learn more from and with his chavrusa, than he could from a Rebbe. It's absolutely true. It's important to have a great Rebbeim, absolutely, but having good friends and good chavrusas in many ways is more important. Not in every way, but in many ways. And that's the point. Now again, what he means by a chavrusa and what he means by a friend is people who are going to share your common goal. Again, going back to the words of the Or HaChaim said about that point, Bechina yi'ud chachamim b'tchabru b'leiv shalom tamim. They share a yi'ud, they share a common purpose. If there's very few things as powerful and as magical as two people, and it could be two 18-year-olds, it could be two Shana Aleph guys, but two people who say there's some common higher purpose that we're both aiming towards. It's like the two chavrusas, the two friends, are the two bottom parts of the triangle, and they have that top, that shared goal that they're aspiring to. And that type of a relationship, either the one-on-one of the chavrusa, let alone a group of guys who are all there to a common purpose, that's the magic of a unified Beis Medrash, that's the magic of a unified chevra, and that is unbelievably powerful. And if you have all the oars, so to speak, rowing in the same direction, then instead of competing with each other, on the contrary, everyone's trying to help build each other, high tides lift all boats. Everyone grows, each on their own level, higher than they could be. And these are the three things, says Rav Asher Weiss, based on Or HaChaim, that we need to think about in these last few days before Kabbalah Satorah, before Shavuos. Number one, again, was we have to be willing to work hard. Everyone, I think it was Rabbi Saul Salanter, one of the Bali Musar said, everyone wants to learn Shas and sleep well at night. Right? It doesn't work that way. You want great accomplishment, you're going to have to be willing to give up a little sleep, you have to be willing to work hard. Number two is humility. You're not as smart as you think. You don't know everything. A lot of people can help you. A lot of people can grow. You have a ways to go. That level of humility, of understanding who you are and where you still have to go, crucial to learning. And number three is to not see everything as competitive, but rather surround yourself with people who share your goals and are willing to help you as you help them, each of you be the best that you can be. When you have these three things, you're well on your way. It's a long journey, but you will be well on your way if you have these three things to becoming Yemir Tzah Hashem Batamal Chacham. And I know you've all been working on this for many months anyway, but certainly a few days before Shavuos is a good opportunity, especially unfortunately that we're all separated from each other, but it's still a good opportunity to review these ideas and hopefully invest. And hopefully, if you invest over the next few days, even as unfortunately you're going to be perhaps more alone than you would otherwise want to be over Shavuos, not in a full yeshiva-based medrash, which would have been magical for you, but unfortunately Hashem had other plans for all of us. But nevertheless, even though we don't have the outside stimuli to strengthen us when we're at home, but if we've done the inner work, if we've been working on ourselves, then hopefully even wherever you end up being for Shavuos in your own homes, but hopefully with these three types of hachana, hopefully it can be a very, very meaningful Kabbalah Satorah for all of us once again.